Hey, this is Justin, and you're listening to Retro Cult. Tonight's kind of a special episode for me. If you're finding Retro Cult via Talk Junkie, well, it didn't all really start at Talk Junkie, you know. You may have found Talk Junkie via the Stuff I Like podcast, and you may have found that via the YouTube page. I started out with a podcast called Stuff I Like and a podcast called Retrocast, which is why you'll hear me mistakenly say Retrocast from time to time. I put them up. I wasn't satisfied with them. I yanked them down, replanned this, and in the process of doing that, I thought I'd convince three friends of mine to do the show with me full time. And we were going to call the podcast The Other Four Horsemen. It was myself, JoJo Krager, Jeremy, and Josh White. And we did one episode. we called that episode The Other Four Horsemen. And that's the only episode that we got to do. Jeremy Patrick, I forgot to mention Jeremy's last name. I got sidetracked, and you'll understand why in a minute. We didn't get to do anything past that first episode. Just conflict and schedules and things like that. And I sat on that episode for a really long time. As far as, you know, I put it out. This episode is, you know, that was recorded, I don't know, 18 or 19 at this point. I don't even know when. So I was kind of starting from scratch again. So I dumped everything else, and I come out with Talk Junkie. And there was actually another one in there called Tenfold Skeptic. It's up still as a pay, as a listing on iTunes, but anything that I put on, it's been taken off. But I took that first episode of The Other Four Horsemen and started Talk Junkie with it. That was my first episode of Talk Junkie, and because it was first, it kind of got buried. It didn't get a lot of listens, and a lot of people really didn't hear it. And it's probably my favorite episode I've ever recorded on Talk Junkie, even though it was initially recorded for another project. And the idea was that eventually I could get those guys to come back and do it again. And I even thought, you know, I'll get them on the 50th episode, and I didn't, or maybe I'll get them on the 100th or the 150th, and maybe the 200th. But all four of us will never be able to do that again. Josh is no longer with us. He died fairly suddenly. You know, hardworking guy, family man with wife and kids, and just a good human being who just had a medical condition and just out of the blue, you know, passed away. And Josh and I were close when I was in high school. He was an adult student when I was at vocational school in drafting class, and he was always super nice to me. And he and JoJo and myself and his brother would hang out at his house and watch wrestling pay-per-views. And especially ECW pay-per-views, and I thought it was the greatest thing ever. And now he and Jeremy go back even further than that, like grade school, I believe, and as well as JoJo. JoJo had known him a lot longer. And it'd been a long time since I'd seen Josh before we did this podcast. And instantly, when you know, around him again, sit down, he's just, to me, was naturally made for podcasting. He's really good at it. He's just a fun person, fun to be around, and really outgoing, and I had such a good time that day. And, you know, he was really focused, obviously, on his family, but the career he had at the time, plus he was going to school, going back to, you know, to further himself in life, so he had a lot going on, and you know, life got in the way, but not in a negative way. Like, I don't blame him for not being able to do the podcast, because the responsibilities he had were serious and big responsibilities. And having said all that, when I started Retro Cult, you know, the idea was to do the same thing I was going to do with the other Four Horsemen podcast, just do it myself and have guests on. And, you know, I've got to do a couple of individual episodes so far, you know, covering Halloween movies and ninja movies and things like that. But one topic that's bound to come up multiple times is going to be wrestling. And I really want to do a retro, old school wrestling podcast. And I was actually planning that. Lance, who was on with me for the ninja episode, thinking about contacting him and talking, you know, Attitude Era, WWE, because he and I were watching wrestling together at that time, and I know that's kind of more the timeline he got into wrestling, and then find a guest to talk, you know, 80s and early 90s wrestling with, and then probably do an entire ECW show, and an entire WCW show, and an entire WWF show. And I could break that up, and I could do a bunch of different episodes, and then even go back and focus on individual wrestlers, obviously Ric Flair, and, you know, but I got to listening to the original podcast I did with Jeremy and JoJo and Josh, and I don't really listen to my stuff to be listening to it. Usually when I go back to listen to something and see if everything's right, and I'll just scan through and maybe skip a bunch of parts, but that one I sit down and listen to all the way through, and I thought it got buried at the beginning of Talk Junkie, and I was like, man, I just passed 150 episodes. For 200 episodes, my 200th episode, I think I may replay that first episode, or at least parts of it. And I still may do that. But then it dawned on me, you know, if I'm going to do these wrestling podcasts on Retro Cult, if Josh were alive today, you know, the very first episode of Retro Cult I'd done about wrestling, I would want Josh, JoJo, and Jeremy to do it with me. And, you know, if I can get the other two guys into it, I wouldn't mind to do another episode with them, you know. And Jeremy's a wealth of knowledge on almost anything. When it comes to retro collections, I don't know if anybody has a better one. So, you know, I thought I'd like to share this with people from Retro Cult, because I know I have some new listeners just based on kind of communication coming back and forth. And I know I have some people who listen to Talk Junkie who may have never heard that first episode, may have never listened to it. And, you know, it's a good way for me to kind of remember Josh and get to share the fun that we had in that podcast with everybody else. And it's a way for me to kind of pay respect to that before I go forward and do anything else. So I really hope you enjoy this. This is The Other Four Horsemen.
Okay, and welcome to the first episode of the Other Four Horsemen podcast. My name is Justin Perkins, and I've got
Jeremy Patrick,
Josh White, also known as no one of any known, you know,
Dirty close. White Boy.
Yeah, we're close enough.
Dirty White Boy
and JoJo Craig.
Okay, before we get started, I'm going to do a couple quick little ads. First Chain Reaction BJJ. They're in Hazard, Kentucky. They accept adult children. They've got classes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Josh, I don't like this art. don't look me in the eye while I'm doing ad reads. You can find out everything you need to know about them at chainreactionbjj.com. Deathless Forge, you can find them on Deathless Forge on Facebook, and you can find them on Etsy. Zolka Blacksmith makes some pretty neat stuff, so you can all check them out. And Hot Rods Pizza, if they don't kick us out before we air this, they're in Hyman, Kentucky. Great food, great pizza. They let us come here and do this live here. So check them out. Their number is 785-0055, and they run a lot of little deals and stuff, special little giveaways and stuff on Facebook, so check them out on Facebook. I had to look away from you in order to, and I can't listen to myself through the headphones while we do this. It's not going to work out. So, with this basically just excuse to hang out and do a podcast in that time frame on what time we're hanging out, we'll discuss a lot of different stuff when we do the different podcasts, but I think we kind of settled on today just talking about some old school wrestling. You know, what we grew up on, probably 80s into 90s. When did you, like, we'll blame this one on Josh. This is, we let him pick the first one. So, you're all older than me, but I believe you're the oldest. That would be my guess. Yeah, you're an old man. I'm the grayest, but you're the oldest. Yeah, so, man, what time frame, what area did you start watching wrestling most?
Well, I actually started about, I'd say it's probably 84, 85. My dad was a big wrestling fan. So, you know, I always watched with him, you know. Usually it was stuff on the USA Network, you know, All-American Wrestling, you know, with Hulk Hogan and all those guys. There was also the, you know, Saturday Night 605 TBS stuff, you know. You know, you had Georgia Championship Wrestling, you know, Carolina Mid-Atlantic stuff, you know, and that's pretty much what I cut my teeth on, and that's, you know, that's really what got me hooked to this day, really, you know.
So what did you come in on, Jeremy?
Well, I'm just going to echo what Josh said. I started watching wrestling probably 85 or 86, just somewhere around in there. I can very, very vaguely remember the whole, you know, Piper Hogan feud in the mid 80s around WrestleMania 1, Cyndi Lauper, and all that stuff. But my more vivid conscious memories come late 80s, early 90s, the Earthquake Hogan feud. Yes. And the, you know, Ravishing Rick Rude and Macho Man, you know, some of those classic feuds. I can remember when Sting joined and then left the Four Horsemen.
They jumped him.
Yes, they did.
Like, you're not a horseman
anymore.
Was
that a Halloween Havoc? I think it happened to Halloween Havoc, didn't it?
That was one of those.
I don't have a memory. It was a Clash of Champions or Halloween Havoc, I believe. That was. What about you, JoJo? You take me as a 90s guy. You come in.
I come in like around the Attitude area. You know.
You got
I watched late bloomer, if you will.
Yeah, I watched it earlier, but like I can't really remember most of it.
Well, I started WCW, and I don't know why, but I guess it was so prevalent on TBS. There's so many, you know. I seen more stuff on TBS. Plus, Clash of Champions was free, and I was a big Sting mark at the time. I love Sting. Mm-hmm. I wasn't crazy about Hogan, but as more of the shows popped up on USA, like I did start getting more into WWF, probably by, I'm like Joey though, by the time I really was into WWF was more in the Attitude Era. I like WWF for certain wrestlers throughout the late 80s and early 90s because I come in probably 87, 88. And, I mean, to me, Macho Man and, you know, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's to the best workers ever. So, like, like WWF for that. Like, other than that, I'm a Ric Flair guy. Like, even when I was younger, I hated him, but I hated him more than everybody. And then I realized, well, you know, I liked him that much. And so I've been a Horseman Flair guy forever. So I think that's how WCW had
And that's pretty much a testament to how good of a worker he was. You absolutely hate his guts. You know, you want to see somebody go out and just scream him, you know, beat the crap out of him, you know, take the belt off of him, you know. Then you realize later, man, he was working us really hard.
Yeah.
and you're like, man, he's just great, you know. Yeah, I mean,
you love to hate him.
Right, exactly.
If you sit, if you really sit and think about it, can you remember one title shot where Flair pinned a guy and won the title fair and square in the center of the ring?
Actually winning it?
Yes, winning. No cheating, no interference. No.
The only real clean one I can even think of was him and Terry Funk in 1990. But, you know, Flair's working face then, though. Yeah. He made Terry Funk quit, and Terry Funk's like, if you make me quit, I'll shake your hand. You know? which is still one of the best matches I think I've ever watched, you know. And,
well, all his matches were good. You look at him and Dusty Rhodes. Like, Dusty Rhodes don't get a lot of credit, because now Dusty Rhodes, you know, he's one of them guys that, like, he could go with Flair. Mm-hmm. Like, he could. And I remember reading the magazines, and the magazines is one of those things that kind of, it got me early on wrestling. I was like, hold on a minute. Like, I just seen them fight an hour Iron Man match, you know, on a Clash of the Champions, and then the magazines got that they done it 15 other times. Yeah, I didn't realize they were wrestling the same match every mm-hmm. night. Right. But to go an hour, to no win, I mean, to a draw every night for a month on the road, like, that'd be hard.
That's crazy.
And they would do it forever. You know, they would travel like that for months at a time. And I think that was the difference, too, is, like, at that time in 80s coming in the 90s, like, WCW was probably a little more believable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, there was not a dead dude walking around. Like, it wasn't, yeah. even as a kid, right. like, he wanted
it to be real.
It was
more reality-based, without yeah. a doubt. Well, there were a lot of characters and gimmicks in WWF yeah. at the time, and they took the reality approach in WCW, without a doubt.
Exactly, yeah, that's what I was about to say, too. You know, I mean, you have your superhero stuff with your WWF, you know, Hulk Hogan coming in, fighting, saving the day, you know, saying your prayers, you know, take your vitamins, brother, you know, and all that. But then, you know, in the Carolinas, you know, Georgia, you know, WCW in general, you know, it was work rates.
Yeah.
You know, those guys went out and, you know, they made you want to see them either get their comeuppance against the heel or, you know, just, or whatever, just from, you know, talent, you know.
Ric Flair made people mad, too. Like, yeah. that was a real thing. Like, you go back and look at that, like, it's amazing at how upset people really got. Oh. And Ric Flair, like, my mama Minnie would just sit and watch. Like, she would watch wrestling. And I remember being little and watching her watch it. And she'd be like, oh, Lord, won't somebody call them and stop them? There has to be a number down at that TV station. Won't somebody call them? And, like, she got in. Like, and, like, when they would have local shows around here, old-timers around here, they got pumped on. Like, it was a serious event to them.
But the way I always seen wrestling, like, WCW was always, like, rated G or PG. And then you had WWF, so it was PG-13, and then ECW was rated R, like, you know, I mean, cuss and everything goes kind of deal, and then he wanted to go, and young Vince McMahon combined everything, and I think he just ruined wrestling as we knew it.
He did, but they stole that ECW formula. To me, wrestling has lost a lot, and to me, like, I contribute that to three things. One, breaking kayfabe. When they broke kayfabe and talked about things they shouldn't talk about, like, even though you know it's not real, that did hurt wrestling. ECW, I loved ECW. You know, I mean, we used to get, you know, we get together and watch those pay-per-views and stuff, like, I loved it. But hardcore wrestling killed wrestling because it was hard to go back to a regular match. Real fans eventually could, but I think the general public had a hard time going back to a regular match. Mm-hmm. And then Stone Cold, like, I love Stone Cold. I think he's one of the best characters ever.
Yeah.
But he killed wrestling because, I'm not saying he killed it, but he definitely changed what it had to be, because they're up until Stone Cold, with the exception, they done it a little bit before Stone Cold got big. They did a little bit with Bret Hart with the whole Canada-America thing, but to have a heel, or really to have a babyface that was a bad guy or a bad person, like, that was unique. New. That was unique. You know, you didn't see
that. The anti-hero.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, it become the most popular model, but it definitely, that changed things completely.
Well, we could all relate to Stone Cold as we got older anyway. I mean, you know, who wouldn't want to stick it to their boss, you know?
Right.
I can't.
Somebody cross just, you know.
he's got money, and he's in shape, and he's bi. I can't relate to him. I'm maybe Gold Dust, you know. I'm a weirdo. I could relate to Gold Dust. Not Stone Cold. Or Mick Foley. I'm a Mick Foley guy.
You remember when Mick Foley came to the library down there and sign autographs.
Yes, I was in line for
just,
that.
Just a couple years ago, yeah.
You know, they told him he was going to be there like a couple of hours, and he sat there the whole time. Like by the end of the day, he was just like so tired he couldn't hold his head up, and he was still signing autographs. He wouldn't leave until the last person got their autograph.
Yeah, he's a heck of a guy, man.
To me, I mean, that's just amazing to me.
Well, a friend of mine, Tim Hudson, he's a somewhat of a local photographer. He's worked with us at the trail ride and so forth. And he gave Mick Foley an autism awareness bracelet because one of his relatives has Asperger's syndrome. And he kept that bracelet, and forever and ever you could see him on TV wearing that bracelet. Mm-hmm. I mean, that says a lot about his character and, you know, sense of dignity, I think.
Well,
real good guy.
He's a down-to-earth guy. Like, he was that guy that, you know, retired with money, because you don't hear that much. Like, you hear about, you know, guys like Luger and stuff that retired with nothing and had to, but, you know, he's sleeping on people's couches and saving money. Like, he was sleeping on fans' couches when he was, from what I hear, when he was, you know, the champion, when he was a world champion. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the night he won the title?
Oh, against, yeah, The Rock when Stone Cold came out.
And that yes. probably was the nail in the coffin for WCW.
Well, it was, because you remember, you know, on the other channel, you know, Eric Bischoff told Tony Schiavone to say on the air, you know. He said, you know, on the other channel, a guy who used to wrestle here is Cactus Jack. He's going to win the world title.
I remember
that'll
that.
Really put butts in the seats.
That very, very plainly.
And then everybody at the same time, like, oh, my God, you know, Foley's going to win. Change the channel. You know,
yeah,
so.
And before then, I don't remember them ever even acknowledging one another. And just all at once, Tony Schiavone's like, hey, over on WWF, this is going to happen. And I remember just my mouth being agape. I was like, he did not just do that. But he did.
Well, they did stuff like that in the early days of Nitro, because, you know, when it was live.
And they were recording. Yeah. And I didn't realize
that. And they would
say,
you know, here's what's going to happen. You know, Vader's going to beat 2 Cold Scorpio. Shawn Michaels going to beat Sid with a super kick, blah, 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 this, that, you know. This was like in the early days when they're trying to steal views from Vince. But they'd kind of gotten away from that for a while, it seems like, you know, and just kind of because they got the hot hand and they just, you know, we don't need to put Vince
right.
anymore. We're on top, you know, guys. You know, NWO and all that. Then, you know, that tide started to turn when Attitude Era started, you know. And then people started identifying more with guys like The Rock and Stone Cold and Gold Dust, I suppose.
Don't you look at me. I'm just saying, I'm closer to a Gold Dust than I am a Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean, probably much closer to a Mick Foley than that.
But now Foley, he was, you know, I think people identify with Foley, you know, because he's one of us.
He really is.
He's a guy who had a dream, you know. He's like, hey, I want to be a wrestler, you know. Didn't really have the natural, you know, talent somebody like Flair or Steamboat had, you know. But he had, you know, the will, or to steal a term, the intestinal fortitude to go out, you know, and just, you know, make those long drives, you know, in the snow in a Ford Fairmont, you know, sleep on couches, eat peanut butter, you know, as a meal every day, you know. It must all went to his thighs, I don't know.
Well, you know, I can remember when he, like, even the Cactus Jack days, like, he was not, like, what they called WWF body. Like, he didn't have the Luger body. But he was definitely in shape because, like, you know, he went harder back then. To me, that was his heyday. Like, he got his, you know, he got the respect he deserved and stuff later on WWE. But those Cactus Jack, the feud with Sting and the stuff with Vader back mm-hmm. in WCW, to me, or the stuff with Funk, like, you know, even the ECW stuff, to me, like, that's when he really shined. Like, I don't think he got enough credit for being as good as he actually was, you know.
Right.
Like, he wasn't, a mat wrestler, but he still, you know, he had a lot of talent. He told a really good story.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
See, that's one of the misconceptions, I think, about wrestling. You know, some people say to have a 5-star match, you have to have one of these mat classics, you know, flips and twists, you know, all kinds of technical chain wrestling. But, no. The best matches always tell a story. You know, I mean, you look at WrestleMania 3, Hogan and Andre.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the best, considered one of the best matches ever.
Right.
And those guys didn't do anything in the ring. They didn't put on this big moonsaults and, you know, chain wrestling and arm drags and all that. They told a story.
But it told a good story. And people will still say, well, you know, he slammed Andre. But nobody could. Andre had been slammed 500 times before that. But you don't remember that.
No.
You remember that because it told such a good story.
Right.
Like, it was, you know, it was an amazing story.
And I'll give
Hogan's had a lot of those moments. I'll give him that. I'm not completely anti-Hogan.
Hogan had his place. But he was a storytelling wrestler. I mean,
but they did him wrong. No matter what you say, they did him wrong.
You mean with this last thing when they took him out? Yeah, that was ridiculous.
And then bring him back when Mean Gene dies, and I'm like, they bring
him back
because
they can
make
money off of him again. That's what bothered me is if you were going to kick him out, like just kick him out and leave him out, like stand by it, because they don't stand by anything. That's like you don't ever hear. Was it 04 that Benoit won the Royal Rumble?
It was early 2000s.
There's you couldn't pay them to talk about that. Oh, there's no way. And, like, I mean, that's a tragedy what happened to his wife and his, you know. Mm-hmm. But who's to say that he wasn't equally as mentally ill? But either way, like, that's a separate instance. Like, I'm not saying glorify the guy, but, like, it's a show about fake athletic competition. You can recognize these things and take the time to separate them from other stuff. And with Hogan, it was just, he said something that we don't agree with. Let's get rid of him until everybody forgets about it, and everybody has. And then now we'll bring him back and milk him for more money.
Well, they took him out of the Hall of Fame and everything. I mean, they, like, he never existed to them.
Right.
And there's a video where Vince McMahon calls John Cena the same word that Hogan used.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing was said.
But he owns the company, and you can get away with that if he owns the company.
He was what made Vince McMahon, in my opinion. You know, love him or hate him, he still put in a lot of footwork for Vince.
Oh,
made him rich.
He definitely built the company. There's no doubt about it. He built the company. That company's built off his back.
Oh, yeah.
There's no, I mean, you know, you imagine what AWA could have been, possibly, if they'd had the TV deal and not lost Hogan, which I'm sure, I don't know, it'd been hard to stop McMahon. I don't think you could have stopped McMahon regardless. I don't think that's possible, you know. Because at one point in time before it was over, I think, and I love Kurt Hennig. I think Mr. Perfect was an amazing wrestler, one of my favorites. But him as your world champion in AWA, and then you've got Hogan, you know, they couldn't compete. Mm-hmm. There's no way.
No. And really the only thing they could have did to compete, guys like Vern Gagne and things like that, was to, you know, like the old, you know, tall tales that, you know, send somebody out to shoot on him, break his leg before the match, or break his arm.
Well, they sent, he swears. I mean, if you listen to the Sheik swears that they sent him to break Hogan's leg before. And look, if anybody could have done it, the Sheik probably could have done it.
I humble you.
he could probably have done it, but, you know, for them to want to go to that. Plus, you got Gagne and his son are champion or tag team champion the other day. Like, you can't do that. Like, look at Gagne's son. I'm never going to be a world champion for a reason. Like, you can't convince anybody, especially back then when people still believed it was real. You're not going to convince them I'm a champion material. You're not going to convince me Vern Gagne's son could have been a world champion either.
No,
like,
absolutely not, you know. That would have been just as believable a shame of man being world champion right now.
He has the best elbow in the business. Tell me, other than the Macho Man, he has the best elbow in the business. I may not be able to say anything else about his abilities, but you go back and look at, he does elbow drop off anything. It's the best elbow in the business.
He might can elbow, but he can't work a punch to save his life, if you notice. He'd be like,
he's horrible.
Like this, you know.
You save him for the elbow. McMahon surprised me because, you know, that was the thing that turned around the ratings, definitely, in that Monday Night War, was McMahon versus Austin. Mm-hmm. And Joey said, everybody wants to fight their boss. And, you know, it just took off. It was like wildfire. And McMahon did a good job. He never put himself over, really, though. If you really go back and look, he had to fight the whole corporation, or he had to fight this guy, or what was it, St. Valentine's Day Massacre, when he originally fought McMahon, wasn't that when Paul White showed up, when the Big Show showed up, you know. Yeah. So it was always something. He never really put himself over to the extent of, like, I didn't even see it, but I heard the other day his son won some big wrestling tournament overseas, Dubai or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that was a big to-do, really, there. They have this whole, like, eight-man tournament or whatever, and he gets down to the finals, and he puts himself in.
Where's the payoff to that? Like, that's like Brock Lesnar being champion. Where's the payoff to that?
Yeah, there wasn't one. And they end up just kind of forgetting about it. They said it was like a seed for a heel turn or something like that. But then, you know, a few months back, what was it? They said, we're starting to listen to our audience now, you know. And then that kind of changed everything.
They're not listening to me because I don't watch anything.
They haven't listened to me in a long time.
So do y'all still watch wrestling?
No.
I
just can't.
I read results. I really can't. See, and that's the sad thing about it, because if you look at the roster right now, I mean, top to bottom, it's probably the most talented roster they've ever had, you know, since maybe the late 80s with Hogan and Jake and Honky Tonk Man and guys like that. It's absolute talent, but they can't use them.
It's a riding.
They'll take two or three guys and use those guys, push those to the moon, and everybody else is, you know.
Well, my in-laws watch it, and I get stuck watching it sometimes, and it's like, man, it's just so – I mean, I know it's always been fake, but it's – unbelievable.
It's not entertaining either.
It's like Power Ranger fake.
Right.
You know, the punches don't come nowhere near hitting, and they, you know, it's just crazy the way that they've changed it so much over the years. But society's changed too, so.
It has, but like the creative isn't there. Like any one of us at 16, 17, 18 year old would probably had done what everybody before us done, you know, at least the people right before us. A lot of people do transition out of wrestling at that point. And when I was 16 year old, everybody was transitioning into it because it was the best written era from both sides. WCW has to get credit for starting it. When Scott Hall showed up on WCW wrestling, that, like, I had been out for a while because they had slowly been kind of writing Flair out. They had. And they didn't really want him. He'd done been to WWF and come back. And when Hall showed up, like, it got interesting. And, you know, right. It even led to a lawsuit. But the whole, you know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. That whole thing like that, you know, that. And then you take that and go to the extreme of WWF having DX and Austin and stuff doing and saying things that a 16-year-old kid would do and say. Like, it was entertaining. It was always funny. The Rock was always funny. WCW lacked that. If they'd have had more on – if they'd give Chris Jericho the microphone 10 times more than they did, they could have competed on the comical side. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have that. They – for what I give them credit for when we first started talking about being more realistic and being more reality-based, they tried to keep that through the 90s. And it did work to a degree, but not as much as the WWF just went, just say what you want to say. I mean, just look at some of the things they did say.
Yeah, how many times do we get in trouble for doing the DX circuit, you know?
Yeah, a lot.
And, I mean,
those high school teachers did not like that.
Yeah.
There's an 80-year-old woman gave birth to a hand.
Yeah. That was stupid.
Yeah,
it was.
Like, wasn't their shining moment.
It was do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And you can see, if you really go back and watch, like if you read much at all about Vince Russo, you can see when Vince Russo came in from the magazine and started actually writing. And he did help it. Like, he changed it a lot. He helped it. But you can see when he goes out, and you can see when he come into WCW, like the Jarrett thing, when Jarrett laid down for Hogan, which at the time I was a fan of. I was like, you know, Hogan's crying about not being champion, lay down for him. But that's one of the first real times that they broke kayfabe. That's the only time I'd ever seen it broke for the most part on WCW, you know, and that probably was a nail in the coffin.
That was a problem with Vince Russo, because he did it a few too many times.
Yeah.
You know, you have that little shocking moment, like, is this real, is this fantasy, or is this actually going on? But then Russo kept doing it over and over and over.
It's a swerve.
It's swerve, yeah, pretty
it's
much.
It's a swerve, bro. It's a swerve. That's his. That was his principle for doing it.
Well, stop swerving and go straight for a few minutes, please, you know.
To me, I honestly think, regardless of how, like, I'm a big AJ Styles fan. I do like AJ Styles. I liked him in TNA. And I thought TNA honestly had a chance. When they had everybody that's top guy, they done the WCW thing. WCW took all of WWF's older talent, got everybody they could get, and took newer guys. And WWF took newer guys and built a new roster.
Right.
TNA had new guys. They had Samoa Joe. They had AJ Styles. They had new guys, new roster, and they were building that up. And, you know, next thing you know, it's – they start bringing in Hogan and Bischoff and older guys. And
somehow the Nasty Boys snuck in there somehow. I don't get that still.
I believe DiBiase was there at one point in time.
He may have been.
Yeah. I know Flair was, because I started watching as soon as they brought Flair on. Like, you know, and Flair and Jay Lethal were worth watching. It was hilarious. And then you would come out with this big, you know, which Bully Ray didn't do bad. But they come out with all the older guys, and WWF did the exact opposite, or WWE, whatever you call them now. They went in and took all those new guys that TNA should have been building a foundation off of, like AJ Styles, and took them and made them the biggest guys in the world. And then, I don't know, is TNA still in business?
Well, they're Impact now, and I think they're just barely in business. But the sad thing about that is, from everything I've read online, like, I haven't watched it myself, but the shows have actually improved in quality, you know. it isn't the crap fest that it usually used to be, I guess you'd say. I mean, it's actually a decent wrestling show, but now nobody watches.
It's just too late.
Yeah, I mean, they killed it off a long time ago.
Which it wasn't completely their fault, but this wasn't really their fault. The last match I watched on there was Sting Hardy.
Oh, that was awful.
And that was, like, that was one of the things that bummed you out. Like, he was blown away.
I don't see why they brought Hardy out to the ring that night. You know, he was absolutely blowed out of his mind. So why would you put somebody in danger like that? Who was in charge there? Why couldn't they send two other guys out to beat up Sting and say, hey, this is going to be a two-on-one match now, brother. You know, come on, put up your dukes.
I don't know. It was a horrible choice because he was as blistered as I've ever seen a human being in my life.
That's crazy.
By far.
Now, if anybody's out there listening, you know, if you go back and watch it on YouTube, watch real closely, you know, because, you know, Sting's coming in the ring, you can see Brian Hebner's referee. He's throwing the X. You know, the injury X, like, signaling to the back, something's bad wrong, you know.
Right.
So, at that point, you think they would just sent, I don't remember who was actually in the company at that moment, but you couldn't send somebody out like Kevin Nash to boot Sting and say, I'm taking this match, man, you know, come on.
That was, might have been right before, right at the time of the Bruce Pritchard point in time, the Brother Love, because he was like their, he left from he got fired for supposedly having the gun, WWF, and then went there and ran the show there, my understanding, or tried to. Like, I've heard a lot from him that Dixie was hard to kind of deal with. Not in a mean way, just she's got plenty of money. She does what she wants to do. She made her own action figure.
Well, okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I would do that if I had plenty of money, but I'm also not the type of person that you put running a multi-million-dollar corporation. You know, I can't run my own household. You know, my wife does that.
You know, going back to what you said, like, oh, you only set the bar too high, and I was thinking about, you know, like Goldberg. I said, you know, when he loses his first match, he'll never win another match after that. And it was pretty much true. And then you had Undertaker, who would come back once a year for WrestleMania or whatever, and he wasn't even able to walk out to the ring, and they were still letting him win matches. It's like, dude.
The reason he had all that fog is because he was using a walker.
They should have stopped with Undertaker. The reason being is they let Brock Lesnar take a streak. What did that do? Like, it didn't – it killed the Undertaker, and it didn't help Brock. Brock Lesnar didn't need any help. That dude is – he's a cat. He's got nine lives. He quits to play football, which, for the record, if anybody remembers, he was horrible at and didn't even make it past the practice team.
Right.
But quits to play for the Minnesota Vikings, and, like, a normal person can't do that. But he did that. And then he quits to go be a fighter, which is backfired for Bobby Lashley, backfired for most guys. And he wins the title.
Yeah.
And then now he just – I don't – he's still champion, isn't he?
Yeah.
He kind of shows up when he wants.
You know, the rumor is that he'll lose it to Rollins at Mania, but, you know, we'll see. You know, we've said, you know, Brock's going to lose at Mania all these times before.
Well, Braun Strowman is a monster. Why didn't he lose to Braun Strowman? Like, you got to have a monster beat the monster. Now Braun Strowman's a joke.
See, that kind of goes back to the whole old school thing of it, you know. Ric Flair always said, to be the man, you got to beat the man. So have, you know, Brock put somebody over, man, like Strowman or somebody like that, because if he beats Brock, man, he's already gold right there. Like, this guy just beat Brock Lesnar, man.
According to his reputation, he doesn't have a problem with that. He's put guys over in the past. He put Cena over. Like, he doesn't seem to have a problem with that. So the problem has to be McMahon. It's a golden goose, and they don't want to kill it, I guess. That's the only thing I can figure out, because it doesn't make any sense. It's illogical. It's not.
Well, yeah, that's probably about it. But if you look at it real close, I mean, let's say Rollins does beat Lesnar at Mania. Is Lesnar automatically trash in our eyes? No.
No, he's still
the
a monster.
The Beast got beat one
Goldberg
night.
Beat him.
Yeah.
Goldberg's a 60-year-old announcer that was a failed football player and no longer – I mean, he's never even fought MMA. Comes in, and I actually seen that match. That's one of the few matches I've watched over the years. And what, that last 2 minutes?
Yeah, it wasn't
comes
very long.
In, spears him, pins him, and Lesnar's laughing before and after the match. Laughs, ha-ha-ha. They go back, and then they come back and collect money, and Lesnar ends up with the belt again. Like, Lesnar don't seem to care. He just wants paid. And, like, I don't have a problem. I actually like that. He just wants to pay, but he gets a lot of hate because of the way they handle him. But now that's like with Roman Reigns. Like, I don't know a lot about Roman Reigns other than – because, like I said, I don't really watch him more. But I do know enough from, you know, way people talk is they were trying to force Roman Reigns down people's throat. And McMahon is bad for that. Mm-hmm. And everybody was having a very bad reaction to it. And now he's sick, you know. Like, he's obviously not coming back probably anytime soon, if at all.
Yeah, probably not, I'd say. But that's pretty much what happened, you know, because when the Shield first debuted, you know, in WWE, I mean, everybody was like, you know, these guys, you know, they're incredible, you know, and they'd all do their thing in the ring, you know, Rowan would go out and do that little kick, running down the beside the ring and then jump up and kick the guy on the apron in the head. Like, man, that's an incredible spot. That's awesome, you know. But then they broke him up and put him singles. Then you kind of see, like, Roman might not be as great in the ring as we thought he was, you know, because he's not got the guys behind him to hide all of his weaknesses anymore.
Right.
But he did gradually improve in the ring, but by that point, Vince was pushing him so hard, like, this is our guy, you know. Look at, you know, wonderful Roman Reigns. He's beating everybody, you know, and everybody's like, God, freak off already, you know.
They break guys up too quick, too. Like, those factions, like, you look how long the Horsemen were together, and they went through some bad versions of the Horsemen. Like, I try to ignore the Mongo McMichaels version and stuff like that.
Mongo gets no love.
And to me, like,
Mongo's better than Paul Roma.
A lot of people knock the Benoit Malenko, but to me, those guys were classic.
Those were classic horsemen.
They were real.
I liked them, yeah.
But they stayed together long enough through all, which they are a little different. I mean, they had a lot of longevity, but, you know, Wyndham was big before he joined, but it helped Wyndham. It gave him a push. Mm-hmm. That helped Sting. It gave him a push. You know, Tully and Arn were able to leave the company and go somewhere as a top-paid tag team before Tully got busted for coke.
Right.
And, you know, like, it helped those guys. And with DX, I don't think Triple H is where, even if he is sleeping with the boss's daughter, he's not where he is now without being in DX. But DX lasted long enough. Mm-hmm. The NWO lasted too long. Everybody in the company was in the NWO.
Yeah.
They had to sign.
I think I was in the NWO at one point.
They had a referee in the NWO. Was Norman Smiley ever in the NWO? That might be the only
one.
He should have been.
He might have been the one guy that wasn't.
He might have. It was
him and Ralphus, Smiley, I think, were it.
And DDP. DDP never went. It was the yoga guy and Norman Smiley. That's it. They didn't like it.
But you know, we've been talking a lot about that, like stables and stuff. And we were kind of talking about this in chat the other day. You know, one stable that really doesn't get as much love, you know, is the Dangerous Alliance.
Oh, that's just because they got the best manager of all time, Paul Heyman.
If you sit and wrote down everything on a piece of paper, Joe would love this because I don't think he remembers the Dangerous Alliance. But, you know, your lead guy was Rick Rude, you know, who at the time in WCW was just their biggest heel. You know, everybody absolutely just white hot heat hated Rick Rude.
He would put dude, like, if he was feuding with you, like, he would put your wife's face on his crotch and his pants and come out and do his, and that's
everybody hated. I mean,
the ravishing one. I remember him. I just don't remember the Dangerous.
But you
lines.
Put that in, like, a Southern audience, you know, they really hated that. Then, you know, then you had Steve Austin, who ended up, you know, at the time was probably one of the top five workers in the country.
Stunner Steve was awesome. I mean, he was just as good as, look. When they would let him talk, he was good. McMahon's one had a problem letting him talk.
Right. I mean, he could wrestle. I mean, he'd actually wrestle and actually have great matches and stuff. And then, let's see who else. You had Bobby Eaton, you know.
Beautiful.
Probably
Bobby.
One of the most underrated workers ever, you know. Best tag team worker ever, probably, you know. And I can say that, you know, and stand on, you know, Road Warrior Hawk's coffee table and say the same thing, you know. Bobby Eaton's probably the best tag team worker ever.
No doubt.
Yeah. And then, what, Larry Z, was that a guy? Larry Zbysko?
Larry Zbysko. Yep. The living legend.
And I feel like I'm forgetting somebody, and I'm feeling horrible for it.
Yeah.
Rude, Austin, Zbysko, Eaton, Arn Anderson. God forgive me, Arn Anderson.
He was. That was one point. That was when he was there, Flair was on his way to WWF.
He went with the big guy in the fall of 91. He went on to WWF for about a year and a half.
Didn't NWO do a skit one time on Arn Anderson making fun of him for being an alcoholic?
It was great.
Kevin Nash came out with a pillow under his shirt and a six-pack of beer. You can have my spot, brother, not my dog spot, not my liver spot, my spot.
Do you know? Well, that's because they wasted a storyline. He comes out and gives – it was perfect.
Yeah,
come out and give Perfect his spot, this big thing that old school wrestling fans would have loved. He gives him his spot, and then they just waste it. The writing's just thrown. I forget what, a couple of days later he turned on or something like that. If they would have done more of that, because DX was doing it, and DX was doing it wonderfully. Stone Cold was doing it in ECW amazingly. He would do the whole thing and, you know, talk about Vince and talk about Ted Turner and stuff. Like, it was good. And WCW needed that. Like, they needed some comic relief because they had none. Because the DX skits were now there's no way this ever happened. But do you remember when DX come out and was it Owen that had blackface? I mean, the Nation come out, and they came out as the Nation.
No, it was Waltman that had
the Waltman had the blackface.
Mark Henry.
The dude that does all the impressions, the little kid that done all the impressions was playing Owen Hart.
Jason Sensation.
Yes. But they come out awesome. In blackface. Can you imagine that now? Ted Danson's the only dude in the world that can successfully do blackface and it not be bad.
No, if somebody ever finds out today that he did that back then, he will be, you know, dead guy.
Yeah, they would shut down the whole network.
What just happened in 1997? What?
Hey, you don't have to worry about that because we're on like a – you're literally on like a five-minute cycle right now. If it didn't happen 5 minutes ago, it's hard. If it happened 5 minutes ago and it goes viral, that's one thing. But like
– unless he ever tries to do like – Congress stuff, you know, get elected for something. And they bring it up.
Don't ever run for Congress, dude. They'll see that, and it'll be a big to-do.
You're not getting off the
hook. Right, that is your book. Like,
Will Sasso did, like, the best Stone Cold impression ever. And, like, you know, he'd come out there with Stone Cold. And at first, you know, they was, like, sharing a beer together. And you're like, oh, Stone Cold loved it. You know, then, of course, he had to stun him. But,
yeah,
you know, those were some of the greatest skits. And wrestling history, I think.
The one that, like, I didn't realize it while I was watching him, but if you go back and watch it now, Kurt Angle is funny as crap. And Kurt Angle with Edge and Christian is hilarious. But Kurt Angle with the milk truck.
That's great. Yes.
That was pretty awesome. The milk truck was a pretty good. That was a pretty
I just wanted to be with the writers for WWE just, you know, during the Stone Cold era. We're like, what can we put him in today? Whose car can we destroy or whatever?
Yeah.
Got like, what, Zambonis, like, you know, cement trucks. He drove all the beer trucks. Monster trucks. And like, he did it all.
And the Bloodmobile.
Yes.
I think they were in Kentucky, weren't they, when they did that?
Yeah, I kind of think he had some kind of deal with Tim Short or something. Yeah. He just turned up
just
all
like
his
everybody
cars.
Else. We left him.
That was a free mention. Next time I cost you.
Yeah. Say your name. Send a check payable to
unless nobody listens, then we'll do it for free.
A couple payments off my truck or something, you know.
They definitely had a vehicle fixation with him. But he was hurt. He was hurt. Like, that's something I really didn't realize until, you know, just reading some stuff and watching some behind the scenes. Like, he was hurt 90% of his run. If they had got him 2-3 years before that when he was still somewhat healthy, I mean, Owen Hart with the pile driver, you know, and I've heard it both ways, but I think Austin's still pretty firm that he told him not to do the sit-out power bomb.
Yeah.
Or not the, you know, legs out. And him basically breaking his neck right there, that killed that run. Like, it hadn't even got started yet. So the whole time they were just trying to keep him from getting – he couldn't wrestle. Yeah. So he had to run over something. He made it to be the biggest wrestler in the world. And very seldom do I take up for Hogan. I'm going to take up for Hogan here. They say Austin's the best seller of all time, merchandise-wise. But that was during the internet age. Mm-hmm. Like, Hogan's very close without the internet age.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the internet age, I think Hogan would squash him. That was a level of famous that not only any wrestler's ever going to reach again. But, you know, he made it to that level and be that big. Hurt and stayed hurt. Like, he never really recovered completely.
Yeah, I watched one of them autobiographies of him, and he was talking about wrestling, how he got hurt and his knees were shot and everything. And at the end of it, it broke my heart because he's like, you know, I can't imagine waking up tomorrow not being able to wrestle. And, like, you know, and if you notice, after he quit wrestling, he still hung on to the wrestling, you know, just been the manager, the owner, whatever made him. They tried to put him with a little bit of everything.
They didn't have a whole lot of choice because his name was still so hot. Like, they brought him in for everything they could, you know.
And it worked every time.
It did. It worked every single time. And it would now. Look, if I go home and I hear Austin's going to be on Raw tomorrow night, I'm going to watch Raw for the first time. I don't know how long. Like, I don't even have cable. I would get cable.
I was watching all them shows he hosted too, you know. Well, there's one where they was on that island or whatever, and they had to do all them things. I watched it. I'm watching The Rock's new, whatever it is, too, Titan.
I've not seen it yet. I've heard about it.
It's actually good. It's on Hulu. I don't have cable either, but it's on Hulu.
Well, that's me. I'm a I either stick with Netflix, Hulu, or Tubi, because Tubi's free.
But they call him DJ now, and it drives me crazy.
DJ?
Yes, Dwayne Johnson.
No.
They call him DJ?
Yes.
Like every on Full House?
Yes, every time I hear that's what I'm thinking, DJ on Full House. How glad Roseanne, you DJ? And he's like, oh, the people's eyebrow. And I'm like, no, no, no.
Does he say, oh, my Atlanta?
Oh, jeez.
I want to put the microphone down now.
Mic drop. That's it. So you get for the day. You're welcome. Oh, no, no, I can give you some applause for that. Smile and laugh track.
Congratulations.
That's as advanced as we got. We got some clapping, and we got a smile laugh track. And the greatest intro music ever.
When Tim Short cuts us that check, we can get better.
Yeah. Right. Tim, yeah. We'll send a check. Like we definitely need an upgrade. If this is even recording.
We're good to be wasting
this
time.
It's going to be 42 minutes wasted at this point.
If you're with us and some guy washing dishes is on once every
Well, we sit and messed with it before we got started. And, you know, the more I thought, it's like I said, if we don't mess up the first time so people can listen to it and tell us what all we did wrong and what we need to fix, then it wouldn't be worthwhile. It'll probably sound horrible, but the next one will sound better. I'll figure out what we did wrong.
Oh, we're having a good time, and that's what it's all about.
It's like I said, it's an excuse to hang out.
And could you imagine if we would have tried doing something like this when we were in high school, like 22, 23 years ago? We would have had cassette tape recorders with dial-up internet. You know.
And
now,
Joe,
hang on, I've only got 20 hours left on America Online. Hang on, let me see if I can get this uploaded.
Joey and myself would stand a good chance at prosecution. Yes. Because Joey and myself would not be able to restrain ourselves. I did not need YouTube. Like, kids today, like, I do a lot. I've got a YouTube channel, and I use it a lot, especially, like, to help with my books and stuff. But if I'd had that at 16, I probably would not have the wonderful life that I have today. Because I would have said and done things that did not need to be on YouTube. So these kids can have that. I'm tickled I got it now, but I did not. I'm glad we didn't.
Oh, could you imagine?
No, I'd still be in trouble. I would.
You would.
I'm just super glad they got rid of GeoCities and stuff, you know, because if that ever came up, some of the stuff I put on my GeoCities page, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You better hope this never gets famous, because if it ever does, if this ever gets popular, somebody's looking.
It's, like
it's
Josh
White, W-H-I-T-E.
You can still bring that up.
Let's hope not.
You can.
Hey, don't give them any hints.
This dude knows his ICQ number still.
They just found out how to find, like, the GeoCities graveyard online or something like that. And if you know how to do it, you can bring up pictures and texts from specific GeoCities and X-Page websites and stuff. It's insane.
I'm still trying to figure out how to work MySpace, because my band had a MySpace page, and the only videos we got of us playing are on there, and I can't get them. I can't download them. I can't listen to them. You can't watch them.
That sucks.
I've tried that and tried that.
God. Oh, no.
Sorry, just got a message from ICQ.
Well, I had mentioned that we had talked about that several times in the past, and I downloaded it, messed with it and stuff. And then you said you still remembered, like, your ID number or whatever from ICQ?
Yeah, I still remember the number, but I couldn't tell you the password. Or if it even works
anymore. Because I typed them in so much.
Wow.
I can't remember neither one of them.
Apparently, I wrote mine down a lot, because I didn't even remember having to type it in. So apparently, like, I just started. And that's how me and my wife, like, started talking. We started talking on ICQ. And then after that, like, I don't know that I ever used it again. I used it a ton. I didn't have internet, like, for most of high school. Like, we had it, but it wasn't very good internet. And, like, I just didn't use it. I was one of them weird outside kids.
No, I
used it, but it wasn't for good things.
Well, I mean, when I did use it, it wasn't for ICQ.
My mom didn't have internet at her house until I was well into college. I'm going to say 2002, maybe 2003. Like, I was one of those kids in the 90s that did not have the internet. And I think a lot of them back then didn't. I remember maybe four or five people talking about the internet, quote unquote, and nobody else knew what they were talking about.
Well, you're talking about missing the boat. I was, I'd say probably, I guess I graduated grade school in 96. So in about 93, my grandpa got me a Packard Bell 750 Legend, whatever, brand new. He bought it in one of his pallets. You know, he used to have a store and sold all this stuff, and here's this computer there, and he's like, I don't know what that thing is, but it's, you know, in the way of my other stuff. And I was like, can I have it? And he's like, yeah, this thing's brand new in the box. So I opened up, there's a printer there with printer paper.
That was a $3,000 computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, this thing's brand new, and I get a disc for the man. And like I said, me and Lance Childers would sit and I'd type stuff constantly. I'd do my own little magazine about ghosts and UFOs and stuff like that. And I'd write scripts for movies and I'd sit and I'd write and stuff on it all the time. I used to play the karate game, like the kung fu game that was the arcade game. They had the version of it that was on there, and I had a chess game. And I'd sit and play that stuff constantly. And then I just kind of quit messing with it. So I had this head start on everybody, and then I just quit messing with it.
Go by the wayside.
Then after I spent like my whole senior year of high school at the vocational school with Scotty Stamper, learning computer repair and technology and networking, and went back as an adult student and went and got a job in it. Worked for about 3 months, never looked back. Now I'm lucky to turn on a computer. I had all these opportunities to be, but you know, like, there's no way my daughter could imagine, because I can think we've had internet almost her whole life. Like, when we didn't have internet, she was so little. Like, because when we first got married, we couldn't afford internet at the house, but we had internet at my mom's house or Rachel's mom's house. But, like, we didn't have internet at the house when we first got married. So up to about 5 or 6, we probably didn't have internet. But from then on, Katie's had internet her whole life.
Right.
My son, like, he's had an iPad in his face his whole life. Like, he's never going to know what it's like to not have internet. Like, yeah, that's
it's
wild.
A strange thought, and it's kind of tragic in a way, you know.
It is, like, but I get kind of... I'm kind of torn on that one because, like, I wouldn't get to talk to you all at all. Like, Jeremy, I see Jeremy. But, like, I haven't seen Eric's funeral may be the last time I seen you.
Yeah.
And that's been a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And Joey, you know, I think I've seen you twice in probably the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, running to me at Walmart. Yeah.
I'll look at you from around the corner, kind of follow you somewhere you're not looking. But other than that, like, we don't hardly ever see each other.
Yeah. That's what I did with Josh for years, man. He just disappeared and... I'd see him out with his, you know, new wife, and I'd be jealous and just follow him around everywhere they went.
Well, when we come up with this, the idea of doing this, you know, I would kind of message Joey on the side, but there's no way Josh is going to do this. We've spent years and years of just on, you know, tagging him and everything and acting like he's so above us and won't talk to us. I was like, there's no way. This guy has to hate us by this point. There's no way he's going to come do this. Because I put hashtag or tagged the Josh White on almost everything I posted for probably 2 or 3 years.
Yes.
Every single post, anybody listening,
and he got
every
to like,
single one.
He wouldn't even, like, respond. He just
how do you respond to something like that?
He wasn't even on there.
It would get to the point that me and Joey would just see how many times we could tag you in the comments of a post, and we would just do it non-stop. Like, that's what my day was. Like, I mean, I'm lucky I didn't get fired, because that's what I've done at work a lot of times. That's probably why they laid me off. Like, oh, that's Josh White kid. Let's get rid of him. That's all he does.
Let's make
all
this Josh White. Bring him in here. We need to, you know, let's get this guy. He must be something. But, no. Now, how do you respond to something like that?
With
I'd be flattered. Nobody ever does me like that.
Yeah. Nobody likes us to the joke. We're those people that, you know, Jeremy and Josh, they're decent human beings. They avoid us.
Well, sometimes.
Define decent. So
I'm the type of guy you see at Walmart and everybody just like, oh, look, it's him. And they turn and walk the other way. Or wave from a distance and just keep running on trucking.
I used to think that was like an exaggeration, because I've heard people, like, you know, you see it all the time, and people are getting so bad, like... They'll avoid people in public and not want to talk to people and not want to, you know, like, they'll go out of their way. I'm like, nobody, I'll yell at you from three aisles down. I'm like, hey, come here, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, that can't be possible. No, people do that. Like, I see people
People that have known each other their entire lives will actively avoid one another in the grocery store and stuff now, and that is so strange.
Well, I mean, people do me that way all the time, but, like, I understand.
Well, everybody wants to be, like, part of my Facebook, because all I do is, like, stupid stuff and get put in Facebook jail.
You
and
do
stuff.
Have some of the best like, posts on Facebook.
Like, now I go through the drive-thru at, like, McDonald's, and the manager's like, hey, man, you been in Facebook jail lately? And I'm like, no, not lately. And I mean, like Josh said, how do you respond to that, you know? Are you out of Facebook jail yet? And you're like,
no,
oh,
I've been in real jail, you know?
But, like, I see these people out on the street. And they won't talk to me. They're just like, oh, it's him.
Because they read your Facebook posts.
It's like, it's like how they post those Brett Kavanaugh memes all the time.
That's the guy that makes Brad Holland.
That's the
Brad
wild.
Holland, y'all want to kill himself.
That's the wild guy. Do you
please
still
have Brad alone? Come
yeah.
He's going to be
listening
to this
and
more likely, and he's going to be really upset. You know?
He's going to say it's stupid, but I still love him.
He's a good guy.
We all love Brad. We do.
Yeah.
I did delete him off Facebook.
Well, I did block him, but that's beside the point. Like, he's a good dude. Like, it's nice. I don't want to argue. I just don't want to argue.
The dude's an encyclopedia of, like, 80s trivia and stuff.
He
would be a shoe-in for this sort of thing.
He's a good dude. Like, I can sit and talk to him in person. I just can't do it on Facebook.
Apparently, he's got like a collection of like old VHS tapes too. Like one of the biggest collections ever.
He's got some great stuff.
Like, yeah,
some great. I've seen some. Like he's got some quality stuff.
So did anybody listen to this? And they know him. Need some trivia? You know, yeah. Can't think of a dude's name in a B class horror movie. You know, just give him a call.
Just don't ask him. You know, about the new Green Deal or anything like that.
Yeah.
Don't ask him about his home county or politics, because that's the one that gets, that's the one that got me. We couldn't jive on that one.
Do not mention the trail ride under any circumstances.
Oh. Or the gingerbread festival or anything.
We have a trail ride? Look, let's not go down that rabbit hole.
We are way off track.
there is no track here.
From Rick Rude to the Knott County Trail Ride.
That's Brad Holm, what he thinks about Rick Rude. Brad, what do you think about Rick Rude?
You know? Comment on, you know, our review page on iTunes and let us know, Brad. We know you're going to listen to this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he subscribes to my YouTube page. And I'll probably put this up on YouTube. And then I've subscribed to his. Yeah. So.
You know, we're the only four that's going to be listening to this anyway.
But
Brad, if you are listening, write the check to.
I want to make my wife listen to it, so there's going to be at least five.
I need proof I was here tonight anyway.
You guys know Tyler Ramey, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Me and Tyler Ramey used to play in a band together back in right around 04, 05, and back in the MySpace days. And we had a web show. We'd set up a web camera, and every Saturday night, we'd do a web show. We'd, you know, stream it live on Ustream, and then we'd put the link on MySpace. We'd do it every night. And my wife would constantly listen because she would. This one will be a lot more PG than that one was, but it'll surprise you who will listen, especially if people don't like you. So me and Joey are probably going to bring in a lot of listeners.
We're going to get a lot of listeners.
Nobody's coming for you guys, but me and Joey's going to bring in a lot of listeners.
Random fact about Tyler you might not know, when he was like in kindergarten or first grade. Yeah, he's like extremely short. And that might be why his rat tail looks so long, but he had a rat tail. Like, man, it was like almost blow his butt cheek. I mean, like. I think it was huge.
Wow.
Yes. But, I mean, he was short, but still. I mean,
it was like a 2-foot-long rat tail, but still. I've seen a couple. Like, those are coming back. I've seen those.
Really?
Rat tails are coming. I had one.
I did, too.
Are they rat tails, or are they like the Padawan, you know, the little braid
that
they
have? They're legit rat tails. There's one where you work at. There's a legit rat tail. Probably about, you know, there's a legit. And, I mean, it's like this long. It's sweet. Like, they're wider now. You know, like mine was kind of concentrated. Mine was about like that, but like they get up to that now. But I've seen quite a few of them.
Yeah. I had an old man barber.
Listeners out there, if he went from that to that, that with his fingers.
On this hand, it went from here to here on the no thumb hand.
He's got a nub and his index finger, and he's going back and forth in contrast.
We'll add video at some point.
When we can afford it.
Yeah, my old barber, man, I ain't going to mention his name. I think he's still cutting hair, and he should be like 150 by now. But you'd tell him, like, don't cut the rat's tail, and he'd cut it every time. Like, I told you not to. He's like, oh, I'm sorry about that.
Thank your parents for on that one.
I think he just really hated it. Her dad was back there going, do it.
I had one for years, and the only reason I kept it was because the girls would braid it in class.
That's a solid plan right there.
It was a very solid plan. It worked. I still remember it like 30-some years later, so that's a testament to how effective it was.
I loved mine. But I was watching a video of my son the other day on YouTube, and it's Kids React or something like that. And it's going through and showing these kids. It's showing them like one of them was Sonic the Hedgehog, but the other one was the first Mario game. They're actually having to play it on an NES. And one kid has a member's jacket on, members-only jacket.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm a little too young to, like, I remember them, but we were poor, so like I didn't have them at that point in my life. So like I don't know if they were how much longer they made it, but like everything's coming back. Everything's coming full circle.
Well, you know, I've got a daughter at 16, and all she listens to is 80s music on vinyl.
I've got a daughter. Yeah. So daughter's 21. She listens to horrible music
among the younger demographic.
Yeah, I mean,
like as a collector myself, I notice things like that. And, yeah. It is that Generation Z age group that is keeping the vinyl community afloat right now, as odd as that is to imagine.
Yeah, that is weird. I mean, because, you know, it used to be, you know, she'd want, like, iPod or, you know, something like that, you know, MP3 player type things. But now, you know, her sweet 16th birthday, record player. I'm like, a record player, really? You know, and then she asked for all these different records, and I'm like, are you serious?
That's that makes awesome. Me feel old. I swear it does.
Yeah,
it and it, you does. Know, but you know the thing about that is now that everything's coming back like that, you know you can find all these old classic albums now back on re-released on vinyl.
Yes. Yeah.
Like I was just walking by Walmart, you know, earlier today, and they had Injustice for All on vinyl.
Really?
Right in Walmart. I'm mm-hmm. like, well,
absolutely.
Incredible. You know,
absolutely. It's just weird seeing records in Walmart.
Right. Yeah. That's.
I love it. Don't get me wrong. You know, I've been into that for over 10 years now, but. It's just so amazing to see and to think back to when we were kids, when you would see 45s on the music racks and stuff, and to see it now, like I said, it's just an amazing thing.
Yeah, and to add to that, too, if you walk through Walmart right this second, you'll see a big bin in the middle of the aisle full of $5 CDs.
Right.
The CDs cast into a big bin, you know.
Uh-huh.
But in a place of prominence on the shelf, on the wall, are the vinyls.
Yeah. Right beside of Pac-Man arcade games.
You know, like, what's going
it's
on?
It's bizarre, but I love it.
It's crazy. I mean, there's actually a record store in Letcher County.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Remember Lacey Hill? Lacey Hill, her and her husband run a record store, and it's been there for like a couple years.
Was it called Roundabout?
Roundabout Music.
See, Lacey, now you owe us a check.
Yeah, so. Oh, yeah, that's I need to keep
hey, y'all
this.
Y'all go check out, what'd you say, Roundabout?
Roundabout store? Music.
Yeah.
But now they do some live shows, their local shows. Wattsburg's got a neat little area there, though. Like they've got a lot of little stuff going on out there.
Yeah.
Where would that be located at? I don't.
Well, you know where the tattoo shop is. We were talking about the parlor room. Write your check to us. It's literally right on that corner, right from there.
It's so right you at can the go, roundabout.
Yeah, you can go from the parlor room to Roundabout Music
and
in
such
one
a
stop.
Neat little store. Neat little store, man. They got local artwork there and. Just about any vinyl record you want. I've gone in there looking for some pretty specific things before, and they've had it at a decent price, so you can't beat it if you're into that sort of thing.
You know, helping local people, too, at the same time.
Absolutely.
So, and good people, too. You know, I've known Lacey for a long time. I think she's actually a distant cousin, if Mom tells me correctly. But.
So, I mean, the check could even be a little bit bigger that way.
Yeah, see? Since your family and I have plugged you a little bit here, you know.
If this ever goes national, no one will know what we're talking about, but we're making our money.
Could you imagine somebody in California listening to us talking about Whitesburg and stuff like that?
I think the name alone would trigger Whitesburg. That would trigger them.
Possibly.
I mean, they would have come up with some reason why that's a horrible name, and it would trigger them.
But
if
some guy in California is like, why is that guy going on about Bobby Eaton for some reason? I think we've hit gold.
Everybody in California knows about beautiful Bobby Eaton. I'm assuming. James E. Cornette made all them guys famous.
Did you ever watch that? He went through the drive through down there somewhere. That was like
crazy.
Oh, oh my God, man.
Yeah.
That was like one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life.
He has a podcast you need to listen to because he goes off like that every time.
It is wonderful, yes.
I'll be honest with you, the first podcast I ever listened to was yours. You know, the first one you put on, I'm like, I got to see what we're getting ourselves into.
There's some good ones out there, man. Joe Rogan has an amazing podcast. Yeah.
Everybody talks about Joe Rogan's, but I just, you know.
They're 3 and 4 hours long, and I'll listen to it. Podcasts have taken over TV for me. Like, I don't really watch TV anymore. When I'm in a vehicle in the mornings going to work or going somewhere, like if it's early in the morning, it's generally a podcast. It's either usually Joe Rogan, Something to Wrestle with Bruce Prichard, or Weird Appalachia. There's some people from up around, I believe, Sawyersville. They've got an interesting podcast. And then I'll listen to that. And then on the way home, it's usually music. And that's just kind of how I bounce out. But even sitting at the house, like I'll get on YouTube and watch Joe Rogan on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like Joe Rogan, he may have, like he's working on Kanye West hard. Like, and it'll honestly be a good, it'd be one of the few times everyone hear what Kanye West has to say. But it, you know, he'll have a physicist on one day and a microbiologist the next day, and then a UFC fighter the day after that, and then Sturgill Simpson 2 days after that. Like, the mix is so eclectic of people he's got, and it's always a good show. Like, it's always worth watching.
Watching or listening?
I watch it just as much because he puts each episode, like he does it himself, so it's a good quality feed. He puts every episode on YouTube. And he's got video. I mean, you know, he's probably the king of podcasts right now. He's got the, you know, he's got the best setup.
And he has such an expansive knowledge about anything. Like, as diverse as his guests are, he can carry a conversation with them regarding anything from particle physics to religion to politics to UFC to anything in between. It's amazing.
He sit down with Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he doesn't sound stupid. Like, he can carry his part of the conversation. Like, and you don't really expect that from Joe Rogan. Like, I'm not huge on his stand-up. I wasn't crazy about news radio. How I come across it, I don't know. But, like, I love his podcast. It's great.
I never did know that he was an MMA fighter till years after he done Fear Factor, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't remember him from Fear Factor. Like, that show grossed me out. Like, I can't stand and watch people eat weird stuff.
I wasn't a fan.
It's not as gross as messages I get from Joey, but it's
they're on par. Some of them are.
I definitely won't send them to Josh.
My day has been ruined so many times. So many days I have woke up and just like, man, this is my day. This everything's great. The sky's blue. The birds are singing. Kids are healthy. Everything's awesome. Huh, Jojo sent me a message. Just look at this. And then, like, you can just see the life leaving my face. Rachel's like, did you read another one of Joey's messages? I'm like, yeah, I watched the video. Like, it starts out as such an innocent video. And then by the end, you're like, oh, man. Like, you don't, like, it's a good thing I don't suffer from depression, because if I did, like, you could have triggered me numerous times. Like, it's not safe. Like, don't. But you want to see it. You can't help it.
Why do you send that, or why do you look at that? I'm like, I ain't the one looking it up. I'm not going to Google and searching this stuff. They send it to me. It ruins my day. I send it on other people.
You got to pay it forward, don't you, Joe?
Why do we watch it when you send it? You can't. It's like a car wreck.
It's like
you can't
a train
look
wreck,
away.
Man, I'm
it's
telling you.
No, actually, it's a lot worse than a car wreck. I've seen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for a completely. That's not for a podcast. That's for a therapy session.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, we don't.
When you and I end up having to go to group therapy, it'll be the other four horsemen.
Well, luckily for both of you, I'll be a therapist in December. So.
That is right. Yeah, that's awesome.
JoJo needs you bad, and I need you as a result of JoJo.
You got me.
Like, be prepared. You're going to have to experience what I experienced to understand how far gone he is. And
so I'm just going to start sending the videos to him and let him get a head story. You know,
I would
this
wait
is
till
what you're
going to
be dealing
complete
with on a
because
daily.
He may back out. he may just call an audible and be like, "Look, I mean, I know Burger King's hiring, and I can't deal with this."
You know, there's like dark humor, and then there's like my humor. Yeah,
it's own
Joe
label.
Humor,
You can't, like, it is very hard to offend me. And it has happened a few times in my life. And sadly, I can't say it on podcast what it was. But, you know, I've been offended a few times. That's just, it's hard to do. It really is.
I don't know that I get offended. Like, you don't offend me. But, like, it's hard to eat sometimes. Like someone, like, I mean, I don't ever look at anything and go, like, you know, if it's to the point of, like, it would normally offend people, I go, huh, there's people like that out there. It's kind of funny. But then, we can't do it justice here.
My job is what's done it to me. And because everybody I work with gets my humor, you know, but then I accidentally send it to somebody on the other side, and I see it, and they're like, what? I'm like, sorry, my bad. Didn't mean that.
I get it. That's what makes me feel bad about myself after sometimes I'll read it and I'll laugh and I'll show it to my wife, and that's my moral barometer. I'll be like, look at this. And if she laughs, I'm like, oh, God, we got to spend less time together. I'm ruining you. And if she don't laugh, I'm like, I'm still a horrible person.
You all have probably missed a lot of posts that I've actually posted. My wife looks at it and goes, no, delete it. So I have to go back and, like, delete it.
Post-wise, with Facebook, I'm pretty good because, like, I write it, read it, then delete it and just go on. Because, like, I don't have the energy anymore. You got more energy than I do. I don't have the energy.
Hey, I love making people think. And, like, if they get on there and they read something, they go, ugh, I have to tell somebody I'm offended by that.
But they're not thinking.
Then I just let them fight. Offended. You know, and just let them argue, and I sit back and laugh. I think it's hilarious.
Well, I laugh at responses I'm sorry, to yours too.
But you know, it's like, I can't believe you said that. And I'm like, you know.
I sneak in with a little gif and I sneak back out. That's what it may be, a meme here and there. I just can't. I don't know, dude. I can't. I don't have the patience for it. Like, people aren't going to think. They're not going to change their mind. They're not going to be fair. So
if people wouldn't reward me with, hey man, you're really funny. Even like people. Like, they go to church a lot of stuff. They private message me. They don't like or comment or anything. They're just like, hey, you are hilarious. Don't let nobody take you down, you know? So I'm like,
that's all right. Not what they say around me.
Like, I'm going to turn it up a little bit and see what I can do, you know? But I have got some, hey, you're going to go to hell for that. You need to stop.
You are. Trust me. I've seen them.
I send stuff to you on private messenger that I'm afraid to post myself, hoping that you'll post it.
I think a lot of people do that.
I do that a lot. And the thing is, I'll send it, and then I'll look at it again. I'll be like, that's nowhere near offensive enough for Joey. I might as well just go ahead and post it because it's not.
We know, like, we was talking about Lacey. Her brother Jonathan does me like it all the time. He sends me all kinds of stuff, and I think he knows I'll post it. So. Which I probably should have called him out like that because he's probably like, no, don't tell nobody. But, you know.
Well, they don't know which ones. You offend on so many different fronts. It could be anything.
You really see what's actually going on here. You're a mean mule.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
That's what's happening. They're muling their memes through.
There's
you.
So many.
When you go to Facebook jail, you know, they're getting all scot-free.
He's keistering to me and
fell for it. Yeah,
This broke down an hour in. There is no wrestling. It is all keistering memes. But that's okay. See,
this all is the we stuff need, we like.
All we needed was that wrestling to get us started, and then the real us came out.
Yeah, that pretty much happened.
We're all a little more comfortable now than we were an hour ago, I think.
Except for me, I have to go to the bathroom. Excuse me.
We'll be here, brother.
He's going to look for memes. Is what he's doing.
I've already made that run. I have the. I have the bladder of small children. I can't make it very long.
All right, so okay, so I got a question for you guys here. So bringing it back to wrestling, so we don't, you know, offend Joey anymore. So you know, I know you guys, you know, if you keep up the wrestling a little bit, you've heard about AEW, All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah, I'm definitely curious because like. Even, like, you kind of turned me on to NXT a little bit. Like, I watch some NXT stuff because mm-hmm. there's the chance for there to be a good company out there. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'll read the articles when they come out. I've learned to never read the comments because, wow, wrestling fans are harsh
yes.
people. They're Joey level harsh. But, like, the one thing I've seen a lot that I do agree with, until there's kind of a TV deal and a good TV deal,
yeah,
I don't know how much of a difference it's going to make. And I don't think that the WWE is going to fight them too hard or, like, even worry about them too much at first because I think they need the competition. I think they've realized that.
Well,
they can't be their own competition.
No. It's just not going to work. They've proved that since about 2001.
Yeah.
That they can't be their own competition. There's never been actual competition for Vince since, you know, he bought WCW. You know, TNA came along, and it looked like they were going to kind of be something.
They could have. If they would have handled things differently, they could have never been WCW level, but they could have at least. Now, when they moved to Monday nights to go head-to-head, do you remember the accident? Like, they did. They moved
to
Monday
night. Yeah,
they moved. Like, they were not in a position to do that at that time. I can't understand that move to save my life.
No.
But the thing with AEW, the only thing that worries me, like, I think Cody Rhodes is an amazing wrestler. Like, he's very entertaining and stuff. But – I don't know if he's a top guy. Maybe if you leave him in that element with around guys like Bullet Club guys like that, maybe he is that level guy. I don't know. But to me, I worry that there's a lot of those Kenny Omega type guy. Like, to me, those guys have good matches with the right people, but they're going to have to bring in some more established names. I mean, you have to do that.
Yeah.
And those guys don't sell a lot of stuff. they're bad to no sell stuff, like, right. You know, and I wonder how much that's going to impact the, yeah.
Well,
the product.
But even if nothing else, I'm hoping it actually brings some form of competition, you know, because that makes, you know, because when WCW, you know, came about and really, you know, had Vince against the ropes, that's when Vince shone. You know, that's when
yeah.
He started to shine.
I think it definitely stands a possibility of benefiting the industry. And, I mean, if you want to get technical, I'm not 100% sure, but I'd say if you check the dates, right around the time that WCW got big enough to kind of compete with WWF, and even probably sometime in that, Dusty was probably running WCW at that point in time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, his dad was running, you know. But there was a love-hate issue there, too. Like, you know, to me, I always kind of, even when I was little, like, and that's when it happened when they brought in Dusty and the polka dots. Like, I always kind of thought they was kind of poking fun, because I remembered Dusty enough from the magazines to know this is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. And, like, I didn't like I don't think they gave him a horrible push, but it didn't give him much, you know, which he was older, you know. But, of course, Ric Flair's 107, you know, and could probably still wrestle for the title tomorrow in certain companies. Like, but I don't think that they used Cody right, because Cody's obviously done a whole lot outside. Mm-hmm. I've seen very little outside of there. But now Goldust, to me, I thought Goldust got a really big push. If you go back and look at all the opportunities they give Goldust, he just kept getting high. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the problem. Like, he kept messing it up himself. They give him a really good push.
Yeah.
And he is at least a memorable wrestler. I mean, we've talked about him twice. Mm-hmm. He's more memorable than Dustin Rhodes. You know, that incarnation didn't make it very far.
But it all really depends with them, you know, because they're two biggest stars they have, you know. Chris Jericho, of course, you know, everybody knows Jericho. You know, anybody even with a passing, you know, like a passing knowledge of wrestlers knows who Chris Jericho is. And the other guy being one of the Japanese guys, Kenny Omega. Of course, he's Canadian, but he made his career in Japan, you know. Yeah. And he's probably hands down, probably one of the two or three best wrestlers in the world, legitimately. You know, but those are your two main guys. So you're going to have to build your company around those two guys. Cody can't come in and expect himself to be the world champion right away, you know.
I don't think he's a very believable world champion for a long time. I think Kenny Omega is, and I think people are going to expect him to be.
Right.
But I think you almost have to start with Jericho. But Jericho doesn't do anything but make you stronger. Like, it makes a stronger company.
Right. But that's going to be, you know. And, you know, if you read a few of the rumor sites, maybe go on Reddit, you know. Joe distracted me with a nice little burp there.
Okay. Excuse me, guys.
What was I saying again? So, you know, rumor is a lot of the WWE locker room right now is looking for the release. You know, just the other day, the Revival, you know.
I wonder how much of that's true, though. There's so many guys. I'd say there's always people. Right. How many people they got signed? I'd say there's always people looking for a release.
You know, it also could very well be, you know, just, you know, leverage, you know, to get, you know, better contract through Vince or whatever, you know. But it makes you wonder, you know, if this is true and people are out there, you know, asking for the release to go work for another company, you know, it could, you know, give us as wrestling fans a little hope that, you know, we're going to get something out of the WWE norm.
Something good's got to come from it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because maybe they'll start listening, you know, and maybe, you know, not push, you know, wrestler A or wrestler B down our throats and maybe give wrestler C a push for a while.
And maybe, like you was talking earlier about them being, you know, they're back to being a G-rated show. Like, it's not that you don't need the violence is what gets a lot of that R rating, and like you do need some of that violence, and they've taken that out. Like, they can't get color, they can't bleed at all, and like they've taken a lot of that out, and like even though it's fake, that has a lot to do with storytelling. But Stone Cold could not make it on Raw right now. There's no way. If you brought Stone Cold in his prime back to they don't need to run it in the ground with that, because that's what happened the first time. They run it in the ground, and I mean, it's literally see what we, the right to censor. That's where that whole group come from, is they were getting sued every time they turn around by a group with a similar name. So, you know, you don't have to run it in the ground, but if somebody would come out with something that was a little more adult, which it goes in cycles, like it started out as more of a childish-like thing, and then the storylines got more adult, and then it's went back. I think it goes in a cycle. I think it's coming back around to that, because I think you had all these fans that started at a younger age, grew up with it, and now they're going back and catching younger. Look, the dude's evidently McMahon's a genius, because, I mean, he, you know, he literally took on the world. Like, it was all territorial wrestling before him, and he, you know, he changed everything.
Yeah, but I think something we can touch base with, and the reason why I really don't like wrestling nowadays, well, besides the storylines, is the announcers.
Oh, yes.
The announcing absolutely just flat out is no good.
No heart.
I don't know God, if we could ever change that. Like, if that, that'd be hard for people like us because it's either JR and King. For me, like, it's Bobby Heenan. Like, and a lot of people, you know, there's people I know feel that way, but I know a lot of people disagree with that. Like, it's all King and JR for them. I think JR is amazing. I think King's funny. But that was another reason why I like WCW. I think Bobby Heenan is the funniest non-comedian I've ever heard in my life. Sure. You know,
he had that really quick wit. Yeah. You know, and that really.
But, you know, I mean, like, they actually, even though you know it's fake and you're watching it and, you know, whatever, the announcers always put you right in the action.
Right.
You know, they had, like you said, heart. They had, they wanted you to feel it. But now nowadays, like, they're reading off a script. And it's like.
That's pretty much it.
You know, they have no, I don't know, it just ain't got no heart, man.
Well, they really were for a long time because McMahon was always in their ear, in their earpiece telling them. And I think he still is. I've heard that's one of the few things he still has to do.
He does.
With wrestling.
You know,
so they're going by McMahon. I think McMahon's just got out of touch.
Half the time he would ignore that too when he was Vince is like, say something about his butt, JR, and then he'd just keep talking like, JR, I said talk about his butt. But you know, if you look back even back to the early days of like, you know, Georgia Championship Wrestling and stuff like that, Florida, you know, the announcers, you know, like Gordon Soley, they got you invested in the match on TV. You know, if something big happened, you could tell in their voice and the way they registered and everything, like, you know, something major's happening, I need to pay attention. But look, now, you know, something big happens on Raw, and my coach's like, wow, vintage Kurt Angle, you know. And like, how does that get me into anything? Wow.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you I've heard a lot of guys, especially Bruce Prichard being one of them inside guys, that say that Michael Cole is really good at his job, but he doesn't get to do it. And I don't know, because I don't really listen to him. I wasn't crazy about him when he first started, because it was different. I don't know that I could ever make that change. Like, Tony Schiavone, I always liked King and JR. I got used to McMahon because he was there so long. I won't say I didn't like McMahon.
What a maneuver.
Yeah. Like, McMahon was, he was so grandiose, and in the way he done things, like, it was a little over the top. But, you know, I guess I got used to it. But I don't know. It'd be hard for me. It'd have to be somebody I knew, you know. The guys that just took the hardest lick, I wish could have, like, Jake the Snake, psychology-wise, greatest wrestler of all time. I think he would make an amazing announcer, but I don't ever see him being able to do that, you know.
Right, yeah. And, you know, like I say, you know, if Michael Cole is a talented, you know, maybe he needs to unplug that headpiece for just a few minutes and just call the match the way it's supposed to be. Get us invested in it for some reason, you know, other than, you know.
That,
give us something, Mikey. Come on, you know.
That'd give the new company something to strive for, because that's definitely something they got to fix.
And, you know, they've got guys in that company that could be that. You know, Moro, Ranallo, you know, when he was doing SmackDown, I mean, he was incredible. You know, it kind of reminded you of old school JR.
I've not given him a chance. I don't remember the two guys that was doing NXT. I can't remember who it was.
Moro's doing it right now.
It's good. Like, it's, but that's the problem. Like, that's not the top brand, and it's better than everything they're doing everywhere else. The stories are better. The athletes seem to be better. The announcers seem to be better. It seems to be better than everything they're doing everywhere else. You know.
Well, so. I think part of it too is, you know, now that, you know, Vince, you know, and the WWE's nationally traded. You know, they have stockholders answer to, sponsors, you know, corporate things, you know, and they just kind of try to keep things as homogenized as possible.
I think they just need to learn to offend people. They need JoJo there for about a week.
Yeah, let JoJo, let him run the creator for a few minutes.
Hey, I can do that.
Yeah, bring him in. I watch that. You know?
That's, I mean, you watch it quick because it's not going to last long.
It's going to last long.
I'm definitely not PC.
The amount of lawsuits just from what he sent to people on the roster in their Facebook. Meet one. I need everybody's Facebook Messenger account. I'm going to be sending you some work-related stuff.
Hey, I've toned it down a lot since, you know, yesterday.
Since this morning. No, my last one wasn't bad, I don't believe.
No, I've done really
good.
My
last one was. No, I don't believe my last message was all that bad. Like, I mean, I couldn't show it to normal people, but, like, people like me wouldn't be offended by it.
It was the whipped cream. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah. Yeah, that one, like, that one I don't even consider bad. Like, that's normal. Like, it was, I've not had a real
bad one. That was entertaining.
Yeah, I've not had a real bad one in a while. As soon as Josh gets his... Since he gets his degree, his graduation present, just unload on him. Yeah, here's what I've been thinking about all day, video after video after video.
That'd be the quickest anybody's ever been a therapist and quit, you know.
Screw it's this. It's not worth the money.
Oh, goodness.
Fun times.
Good times. Yeah.
I was just reflecting on some of the videos.
Some of them have damaged me emotionally, but that's okay. Well, I think it's a pretty good first episode.
I think
so. We're an hour and 20 minutes.
That was really a lot of fun, actually.
Not bad at all, not bad.
So, we'll put this up. It'll be on, if you're hearing it, you'll be hearing it off of iTunes, because that's the only place I know how to put it right now. And then I'll also probably embed it. There's a website and all that good stuff that I probably should have looked up beforehand that this will show up on.
Yeah.
It's on Spreaker, but I'd have to figure out how to tell you how to get there. So look for it on iTunes if you've heard. Or if you're listening to it on iTunes, it'll probably be on YouTube, too. I'll probably go ahead and put it on YouTube. Just convert the audio, maybe put a picture of JoJo, something like that.
Yeah.
Something to draw in the ladies.
Yep.
One more time with the sponsors, Deathless Forge, homemade, local-made forging stuff, blacksmithing stuff. I can usually explain that a lot better, but I've done so many test shows that have not panned out for the other podcasts that I just give up hope, and like my train of thought is gone. Hopefully this one has recorded and works right, but Deathless Forge, they do ship. They have an Etsy shop. Look them up on Facebook or on Etsy. Chain Reaction BJJ. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Hazard. Check them out at chainreactionbjj.com. And then we'd like to thank Hot Rods Pizza for letting us come in and take over and make a mess in their back room. They're in Hyman, Kentucky, so it's Hot Rods Pizza, and their number is 785-0055. And hopefully by the time this one's up and going, another week or so, we can get in and do another one and keep this going. So like, subscribe, tell everybody about it, subscribe on YouTube, share. If you didn't like it, find somebody you don't like, tell them about it, and then they can be, you can waste their day and waste their time. So,
yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you guys for coming out and doing
this
with me.
Hey, absolutely.
See you guys next time.